Welcome, everyone. We'd like to express our appreciation to the Houseman Stern family for their continued support of the twin drushot in New York and here in Yerushalayim every year. It is my great honor to introduce Rabbi David Miller, Rosh Kolel of the Reitz Israel Kolel, and guide and mentor to the many of us who dwell in this Beit Midrash in our quest for Kirvat Elokim to deliver this year's drasha.
Kvod Rosh HaYeshiva, Rav Avishai David, Kvod HaRabbanim, Kvod HaTalmidim HaChaverim, one of the earliest works of Torah Tasod, the Sefer HaYetzirah, speaks about Olam and Shana and Nefesh, three parameters that determine one's Avodat Hashem: the Olam, the location; the Shana, the time frame; and the Nefesh, the particular soul that is involved in this quest. The where, and the when, and the whom. One of the determinants of the time frame is not only the time of the year, or even the age of the individual, be he youngster, be he middle-aged, be he elderly, but also dor ledor yishabach ma'asecha, the generation. The avoda of Dor HaMidbar, those who left Mitzrayim, was very, very different than the avodah of the Dor Ba'ei Ha'aretz. The former, a generation dedicated to learning, a Dor De'ah; the latter, a generation of conquering and settling, Kibush V'chiluk. Rav Pinkus, in his introduction to Sharim B'Tfilah, follows in the footsteps of Rav Elimelech Mi-Lizhansk, that every generation has its own particular mitzvah. He quotes Rav Pinkus quotes Rav Chaim Vital, that the mitzvah of the generation of Ikvasa de Meshicha is tefillah, is davening. Rav Elimelech said about his generation that the mitzvah was tzitzit. I'm not Rav Chaim Vital, certainly not Rav Elimelech, but I would venture a conjecture that given the trends in the world towards spirituality, ruchniut, and among Jews of all stripes, all denominations, affiliated, unaffiliated, I would venture that the mitzvah of our generation, better, of course, okay, I would venture that the mitzvah of our generation would be a mitzvah of ahavat Hashem, dveikus b'Hashem, to feel a certain kirva, to feel a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ani kirvas Elokim litov. The statement of David HaMelech in Tehillim Perek Ayin Gimel. In the world of tshuva, to the best of my knowledge, no one expresses this with more eloquence, with more clarity, than Rav Kook in his Orot HaTshuva. In the source page that I gave you, the first source is the third perek of that sefer. Rev. Aaron Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, used to quote from William James' Varieties of Religious Experience. Rav Kook's Oros HaTshuva is a variety of religious experience. His perek Aleph deals with the motivations for tshuva. His perek Beis deals with the time frame of tshuva. Is it instant? Is it gradual? And in Perek Gimel, he gives us two alternate tracks of tshuva. The first, it's sacha called two paragraphs. This is the entire perek, these two paragraphs. In the first paragraph, he, in poetry, which he always writes, it's a poetic rendition of the first seven prakim of the Rambam's Hilchos Tshuva, the classic tshuva as we know it. he speaks of a tshuva, a repentance, in which yesh tshuva mechuvenet neged chet miyuchad o chataim rabim, in which the point of departure is the aveira, is the sin, or sins. And the person, ha'adam sam cheto neged panav, there's hakara tachet, he recognizes the sin, mitcharet bo, there is the charata, mitta'er asher nokash bepach hachet, there is a sense of pain, of having been caught in the trap of the sin. And when he feels enough remorse and enough pain over his behavior, then nafsho mitapeset va'ola, the tshuva raises him. It lightens his burden. It enables him to be spiritually healed, hu holech u'mitrape. And it enables him also to feel the or Hashemesh HaChesed, to feel the warm glow of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Chesed, Kadosh Baruch Hu's warmth, Kadosh Baruch Hu's light. And as a result of this tshuva over his sins, he feels Kirvat Elokim. He feels closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is, again, the tshuva of the Rambam. Point of departure, the sin, and then working its way with the removal of the sin until we get to a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One finds the same, a similar approach also in the Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. However, the second paragraph is where Rav Kook is machadesh, is where Rav Kook appears to be taking a new path. Yeshna od hargashat tshuva stamit kalit, that there is a general tshuva, an alternative tshuva, in which the point of departure is not a sin or sins, then not on the individual's radar screen. Maybe he hasn't sinned. Maybe he's actually behaving properly in terms of all the actions that he's doing. Or maybe he's sinning, but it simply doesn't faze him one iota. However, this individual feels a vacuum. Bichlahu margish bekirbo shehu miduka. He's depressed. Something is wrong. His heart is atum. It's simply closed to everything. He has a lack of sensitivity. He feels a sense of kadrut vitzimaon. He feels a sense of darkness and of lust that ma'orer bo gi'ur ruchani, makes him spiritually disgusted with himself. Mitbayesh hu me'atzmo. He's embarrassed in terms of whom he knows he is, or whom he knows he isn't. But basically, the core over here is yodeyahu ki ein eloka birkirbo. He feels a vacuum. He has no connection to God. No connection to God. Again, he may be mekayim mitzvahs, what we call orthoprax. He may be going through all the motions, but he doesn't feel any sense of spirituality. He doesn't feel that there's any content to what he is doing. And he is stuck in this situation. He's imprisoned in this situation. And then he makes a conscious decision to link into his deepest self. He makes a conscious decision to uncover his soul and to free it to link in with God. And then all of a sudden he becomes filled with spirituality, with holiness, with purity, with fire, with warmth. Rav Kook calls this the tshuva ila'a. This is the upper tshuva. And he's born again. That's the phrase that he uses, that this individual is born again, hu nivra mechadash birya chadasha. And his whole perspective on life changes. And then he not only rebuilds himself, but he rebuilds the entire spiritual spheres. And he brings light, and he brings song to all of creation. He brings healing to all of creation. Hakol omer shira, chedvat Hashem malei kol. Rav Kook uses the phrase of Nehemiah. Right? Chedvas Hashem, hima uschem. This is where we find our strength in this beautiful joy of the spiritual joy that he has created via his connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, the healing is not only the healing of himself, not only, as we saw in the first paragraph, hu holech mitrape, but hu mevi refu'a la'olam. The entire creation is healed. And this is a tshuva that, in my humble opinion, would very much resonate with our generation, the generation of Dvekut. The former tshuva starts with sins. The latter tshuva is an uncovering of connections, a discovering of relationships. Rav Kook appears to also distinguish, in terms of the terminology that he uses, between the first tshuva, which is a process, which is taken stage by stage, sam chet lefanav, mitchare, mitta'er, nafsho mitapeset, there's a ladder which is being climbed, and the second tshuva, which appears to be a moment of inspiration, a lightning bolt of perception. However, that is not certainly necessarily so. The latter tshuva that he's describing can also be very, very gradual. There was a very, very special Rav who was murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, Rav Azriel Karlbach, Hashem Yikom Damav, who was the Rav of Hamburg before the Shoah. And he had a student who came to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yisachar Jakobson. People of my generation still remember his Sfarim, the Chazon HaMikra, and his Biurei Tefillah. And Rav Jakobson quotes Rav Karlbach as pointing out a gradual development in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the description that we find in the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah of Chana's Tfilot. That if you look in source number 2, we find that over a period of 16 psukim, we find three times a description of Chana's Tfilah, each time with a different knetch, with a different emphasis. It speaks about Himarat Ruach v'titpalel al Hashem, and then she is mitpalel lifnei Hashem, and then she introduces herself as an individual who is mitpalel el Hashem. And clearly over here we have a progression, that she starts off mitpalel al Hashem, that she is bitter, she is very, very upset. She has a lot of complaints to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She is mitpalel al Hashem. She is coming on God. She is putting herself on God, that she feels that he owes her something. And this is the Gemara that in source number 3 is found in Brachos, that she is the first individual who davens with the name of God, Hashem Tzvakot, the Lord of the hosts. Why? Lo haya adam shekra'o HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzvakot ad shebaata Chana v'karato Tzvakot, amra Chana v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shel olam mikol tziv'ei tzva'ot shebarata. All of the multitude of your creations, the millions, the billions of your creations, kashe be'enecha shetitein li ben echad, one child is beyond you. That's litpalel al Hashem. And then there is a transformation, that she moves to be mitpalel lifnei Hashem. Da lifnei mi ata omed. The concept of lifnei Hashem is described already in the Mesirat Yesharim, that we're dealing over here with a proper respect of distance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the all-knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and us, the puny human being, between the Roma Motakel and the Shiflut B'nei Adam. The Mesirat Yesharim, in his Chelkei HaChasidut, in source number 4, describes the world of Yira, and he says, Iker HaYira is not, of course, fear, but rather Yirat HaRomamut, is awe, Shetzarich Adam Lachshov Ba'odo Mitpalel, because this is the concept of Kisha'ata Mitpalel Da Lifnei Mi'ata Mitpalel, and this requires a dual perception. Tzarech Sheyitbonen HaRomamuto Yitbarach, to look or to conceive, to meditate on God's Romamut, on God's stature, asher hu merumam v'nisgav al kol b'racha v'tehillah, that there is no way that we can ever express with words, verbally, who God is. Fi yagid tehillasecha, that I need help in order to be able to express the tehillot of Hashem. Kol minei shleimut, etc. Va'od, parallel to that, sarich sheyitbonen al shiflut ha'adam, to realize who we are, how lowly we are, lefi chamer yuto v'gasuto, that we have a material body. Kol sheken lefi achataim, and we've messed things up in our lifetime. With that combination, that creates the lifnei Hashem. Da lifnei mi ata omed. So Chana moved from being al Hashem, from complaining to God, to recognizing that there is more to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats her than one sees in the eye, and puts in the proper respect, the yira of the standing lifnei Hashem. And then another transformation, Vatit Palel El Hashem. El Hashem is already a relationship. There is already an I, thou. There is a degree of closeness. Shuva Elai v'ashuva Aleichem. That she moved into Rav Kook's Shuva Ila'a. She created a relationship. Again, progressing from stage to stage. Now, once we're bringing in the Ramchal, perhaps we can reframe the progression of Chana, moving from Lifnei Hashem to moving to El Hashem, in terms of moving from a world of Yirah to a world of Ahava, moving from the Da Lifnei Mi Ata Omed to the El, to the relationship, to the closeness that has been created. The degree of that Ahava is still very, very unclear. But the relationship, the El, clearly is there. The Slonim Rebbe, the Baal Nesivo Shalom, at the end of Parashas Nitzavim, uses three phrases to understand the concept of Ahava, and since it'll help us very much, I think, in terms of returning to Rav Kook's two worlds of tshuva, I'll just quickly point them out. One he speaks about is Ahava Sichlit, the second as Ahava Tiv'it, and the third is the Chole Ahava. The Ahava Sichlit, that's a love of the mind. Not that you love your mind, but your mind enables you to love. A love that makes sense. A love which is logical. Someone constantly is giving and giving and granting you gifts and favors. You come to love him. There's a certain quid pro quo. You're receiving from him, and because you are receiving from him, there is a relationship, not of awe, but of love. You appreciate him, and that appreciation can turn into a level of love. And fascinatingly, this is the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem, according to the Rambam. If you look in source number 5, Hechu haderech la'ahavato, b'shav'a sheyitbonein adam b'ma'asav, that when a person is able to appreciate the awesome beauty of the universe, bruav haniflaim hagedolim, is able to see the tremendous wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu she'en la'erech that he's put into that, miyad hu ohev et Hashem, that a person becomes overwhelmed with love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who surrounds him with such beauty, who surrounds him with such intellectual achievement, that we love the Meitiv. We love God who is giving us, giving more and more, and the more we see what God is giving, the more we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Rambam understands over here. Mit'ave tava gedola leida, because the more that we know, the more that we are going to love. I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I appreciate all the opportunities he gives me. There's a hashgacha pratis. He gives me those opportunities. And therefore, I love him. I thank him for all that he is doing for me. But there's a second love, which has nothing to do with a quid pro quo, but is something which is built into nature. A father loves a son, and a son loves a father. It's not a love of the mind. It doesn't always make sense. There is not always a quid pro quo. The son is not always giving nachas to his father, and the father is not always giving to his son. However, there is a level of ahava, v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. Okay? I know I'm not pronouncing it properly, but the cha, namely that the possessive, that he is ours, he is Avinu, Avinu, Malkeinu, banim atem l'Hashem Elokechem, that we are His children. It's an unconditional love. It's a love that does not require necessarily that there be a giving in either directions. Bein kach u'bein kach, whether we are behaving properly or not, we paskin like Rav Meir, that nikraim banim, that we are considered to be the banim of Hashem. So we have the ava sichlit, we have the ava tiv'it, and then we have the choli ahava. We have nafshi cholat ahavasecha. We have an individual who is head over heels lovesick, that he is obsessed, that he can't concentrate on anything else. That is the love of Shir HaShirim. That's what's described in the Medrash in source number 6. Rish Lakish Amar Begimel Lashonot Shel Chiba Chivev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Et Yisrael. That's the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses towards Klal Yisrael. In Torah HaSod, this is the core of Torah HaSod. Dveika, Chashika, Chafetzo. Where are these terms taken? On Ulamei Demosim, Parsha Shel Rosh HaZeh. These are taken from the relationship of Shechem towards Dina. The most powerful, intimate, yearning, desire, love between a man and a woman, that is a love of a choli ahava. So we have the ahava sikhlit, the ahava tiv'it, and the choli ahava. Returning now to Rav Kook. Rav Kook described two forms of tshuva. The classic process, beginning with hakarat achet, and the tshuva ila'a, that is the creation of a relationship. Both of them conclude with kirva. Both of them conclude with ahava. But in the first one, the ahava stems from the lifting of the burden, from the conclusion of the process. It's a thank you to God. That's how Rav Kook concludes. Shuvi nafshi l'minuchaychi ki Hashem gamal alaychi. That God gave us a gift of tshuva, that He's willing to allow us to remove, to erase our history, to begin fresh, to have that ability to turn back time. This is a gift, and for the gift, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have a Hakara Satov, and Hakara Satov is the Ahava Sichlit. It's the Ahava that makes sense. In the Tshuva Ila'it, the entire process is creating the relationship. And the ahava that it's created certainly goes beyond hakarat hatov. We're dealing with an emotional love. Now, whether it's the love of the father to the son and the son to the father, that's one level of a relationship, or whether it's being lovesick, the ikar is that we have a relationship, that we have either an ahava tivit or a choli ahava, but the relationship is the core of the tshuva. So what I suggest, if we turn over the page, in the light of our discussion, we say Shmona Esrei three times a day. Let's look at the bracha of tshuva in Shmona Esrei and see what we have and what we don't have. Hashivenu avinu l'sarasecha, korvenu malkenu l'avodasecha, hachazirenu b'tshuva shleima l'fanecha. Baruch ato Hashem harotze b'tshuva. We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a request. Hashivenu, Karvenu, Hachazirenu. That we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help, for Siyata Dishmaya. But for what are we asking help? We're asking for help to return us to Torah. Namely, we currently are coming from a position of a lack of Torah. We're asking for help to return us to Avoda, to mitzvos, to davening, that currently we're coming from a lack of Avoda, from a lack of mitzvahs, from a lack of davening. Namely, we want to correct our behavior. We want to correct our lifestyle. We want to reach a level of lifanecha. We want to reach a level of being able to da, lifnei at mi ata omed. We want to reach a level of yira that consists of a tshuva shlema. All of this is the first paragraph of Rav Kook. All of this is the Hilchos Tshuva of the Rambam. That the Rambam deals with Tshuva in terms of starting from the lack. I lack Torah. I lack Avodah. I need your help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to get me back to where I should be. And I should get to a point of Tshuva Shlema Lefanecha. Tshuva Shlema Lefanecha, the Rambam describes in Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, In other words, that the tshuva should be a permanent form of a tshuva. Ba'al liyado davar she'avarbo, efshar biyado lasoto, pirish v'lo asa. Ya'ir alav yodea ta'alumot shela yoshev lazachet l'olam. I want to reach a tshuva which is not temporary. I know I've tried many times. I've stopped. I've been able to hold myself back for a period of time, and I regress. I fall back. I want to reach a point of tshuva shlema lefanecha. However, even after I have made all these requests of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we end the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem harotzeh b'tshuva. It's still a tshuva in progress. Namely, the siyata d'shmaya can help us to leave the chet. The siyata d'shmaya can help us to get to a state of lifanecha, litpalel lifanecha. But the continuity, the conclusion of that process, the relationship, the ahava, that's up to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, I'm willing, harotzeh b'tshuva, but it takes two to tango. You can't create a relationship unilaterally. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm there for you, but that already is up to us. That can't come with siyata d'shmaya. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will that such a relationship exists, that there be an ahava, shuvu elai v'shuva aleichem, but it's up to us to choose to have that relationship. Every other bracha in Shmona Esrei ends with a statement, with a fact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chonein da'at. He gives us wisdom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Goel Yisrael. He redeems us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bonei Yerushalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael. But this bracha ends with a wish. It ends with a desire. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we asked him to help us get rid of the chait, but the ahava, again, within the classic process that concludes the process, that has to be something that we want. That has to be something that comes from within us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rooting for us, harotzeh b'tshuva, but it has to be that which we initiate, or at least that we complete. Traditionally, in all the tshuva drashas that I heard in my lifetime, either from the Rav Zatzal or Vuchasin Zatzal, one has to revolve around the Rambam. And so over here also, the Rambam has 10 prakim on Hilchos Tshuva. What of everything that we've said up to now is found in the Rambam, and what is missing? So if we look at the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, where he begins Hilchos Tshuva, source number 9, Kol mitzvah shebatorah bein aseh bein lo ta'aseh, im avar adam al achas mehen. We're starting with the Avera. We're starting with a chait. Namely, this is the classic process that we spoke about, the first paragraph of Rav Kook, the first track. And then we have a process that makes its way through Perek Aleph, of Vidui, of Charata, of Kabbalah Lahaba. And in Perek Zayin, we have the conclusion. G'dola tshuva shemekareves es ha'adam l'shchina. This is the Rotzeh b'tshuva. This is where we end the bracha in Shmona Esrei with the desire for this relationship. The Rambam tells us that this relationship is that which would close the process. Shenemar shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha. Emesh, just yesterday, hayezeh sanui lifnei hamakom. This individual was embarrassed to look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu, mishukatz, meruchak. He was disgusted with himself. Rabbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also disgusted with him. V'hayom hu ahuv v'nechmad v'karov v'yedid. And today he is beloved. He is a friend. Ose mitzos u'mekabun osa b'nachat v'simcha. Shenemar ki ratza ha'elokim et ma'asecha. This is the love of the ahavat hasichlit. This is the love that comes, that's logical. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ratza et ma'asecha. He enabled us to reach a point where we're able to throw away the burden, and he's happy with us. He has removed the past. He has totally erased the past. Now we have over here the gift of tshuva, that ratza elokim et ma'asecha. Does the Rambam at all recognize the track of tshuva of the second paragraph of Rav Kook? is there a concept of going straight to go, of creating a relationship per se, of directly linking in with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both as a means and as an end of tshuva? Here, the Rambam teases us. He teases us with which, just take away any tension, will turn out to be a false positive. Hilchos Tshuva has 10 prakim. 9 of them deal with that which the Rambam said he would deal with in his introduction. If you look at what Rav Lichtenstein called the koteret, the heading, what the Bar Ilan calls the hakdama, in source number 11, where the Rambam says, what I want to do in Hilchos Tshuva, I want to discuss one mitzvah, Shiyashuv achote mecheto lefnei Hashem v'yitvadeh, a mitzvah that has a kiyum and a maisa. Ubiur mitzvah zo v'ikarim hanigrarim ima b'grala b'prakim elu. And in these prakim, I'm going to discuss this mitzvah of tshuva in Perek Aleph, in Perek Beis, Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet, Perek Zayin, and the ikarim hanigrarim ima b'grala. There are certain ikare emuna, principles of faith, that we have to accept in order for tshuva to make sense. There has to be bechira chafshis. There has to be a concept of sachar ba'onesh. There has to be an olam hazeh and olam haba. So all of this the Rambam puts in between prakim aleph and tet, the first 9 prakim. The 10th parak of the Rambam appears to be going off, perhaps, on a tangent. That the Rambam in the 10th parak appears to be, well, he says he's only going to talk about tshuva, so maybe we have over here an alternate path to tshuva, which wasn't discussed in the previous prakim. Here the Rambam contrasts 2 individuals. An individual who is oved Hashem for an external reason, be it reward, be it fear of punishment, to someone who is oved me ahava. And if we look at the language of the Rambam, this is source number 12. When we look at the Rambam's description of this Oved Mi Ahava, this appears to be the relationship that Rav Kook spoke about in his second paragraph, a relationship that would put everything into a perspective and would bring about a tremendously meaningful avoda of Torah u'mitzvos. In other words, that one can create a tshuva via ahava. One can create a tshuva via a relationship. Let's look at the language. Ha'oved mi ahava. Who is the oved on ma'ahava? U'ma'ala zo. First, the Rambam tells us, ma'ala gedola ma'ot. This is something not everyone can reach. Hi ma'alat Avraham avinu. He is Avraham, the ohev. Lefi shelo avad ela mi ahava. His whole avoda of mitzvos and behavior and thought processes all stemmed from this relationship of ahava. V'hi ha-ma'ala she-tzivon HaKadosh Baruch Hu edei Moshe she-amar v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha. Again, the possessive. Bizman she-yehov et adam et Hashem ahava ha-ru'uya. When a person creates this relationship, miyad yaseh kol ha-mitzvos mi-ahava. Then the mitzvos now come in. Namely, this can be a form of bringing about mitzvos. This is a tshuva l'chora ila'a. And then the Rambam uses all the right terminology. He presses all the right buttons. He deals with the choli ahava. Ketzed hi ahava haruya. It can start off with the relationship of father-son, the Hashem Elokecha, the Avinu Malkenu, but it can reach the point of Yoav ahava gedola, Yisera aza ma'od shetiyeh nafsho kshura ba'avat Hashem, that we have over here the individual who is nimsa shoge batamid, who is so lovesick that he is obsessed. He can't think of anything else. Choli choli ahava, ein dato penuya me'avat oto isha. This is that which Shlomo HaMelech describes in Shir HaShirim. This is all the world of the ahava of b'chol levavcha u'v'chol nafshecha. This would have been the makar, the chorer of the second paragraph of Rav Kook, had the Rambam stopped here. However, and then we would say that the Rambam in Perek Aleph through Tes deals with the first paragraph, starting with Chet and ending up with Hakara Satov, with gratitude. And the Rambam in the last parak deals with starting off with creating a relationship and ending up with Torah u'mitzvos on the highest plane. However, even though that's what it may appear, the Rambam repeats himself. The Rambam repeats himself in Halacha Vav, in source number 13, and here he explains what he meant. Dovar Yadua Ubarer, says the Rambam in source number 13, She'ein Ahavat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Niksheret B'libo Shel Adam Ad She'yishkeba Tamid. That to really, really love God, it has to be overwhelming. Kara'ui V'yazov Kol Masha B'olam Chutz Mizeh. That this is something that is simply totally takes the individual, doesn't allow him to concentrate on anything else. K'mo She'tzivav Amar B'chol Levavcha V'chol Nafshecha. And then he continues, Eino ohev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ela bida'as sheyeda ehu. What I am describing to you, says the Rambam, is the ahava sichlit, is the knowledge, is the ahava of the mind. Al pi de'ati yeha ahava. The more that you know God, the more you recognize that which he is giving you, that's the level of ahava. And if I'm not clear enough, the Rambam ends off, Kemoshe bi'arnu bi'hilchos yisodei ha-Torah. And therefore, a person who wants to reach this level of ahava should get involved, l'havin or l'haskil b'chachmot, look at the world, look at nature, get involved in everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and this will bring a tremendous, logical, mind-boggling ahava that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu just is giving and giving and giving us so much. The logical ahava, the intellectual ahava. What about all the imagery of the Rambam? What about all of the shogeba? And what about all of the choli ahava? So the Rambam, if we look back in Halacha Gimel, he says, Kamo she'amar Shlomo derech mashal. That was all a metaphor. It was a metaphor for the intensity of our intellectual understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was never, this is the Rambam, it was never meant to be emotional. It was never meant to be an intimate relationship in the literal sense. And here, the Ravid couldn't take it any longer. And the Ravid says, no. Amar Avraham. In other words, when I read the first halacha, halacha Beis and Gimel, I'm on the, that's fine on that page. I'm on that page of the lovesickness. But over here, when he gets to Halacha Vav, Amar Avraham, Zeh HaShigayon Lo Yadanu Le'eze Davar Kivein. As long as the Rambam was talking about lovesickness, you could speak about lovesickness as being a metaphor for an intellectual understanding. But Shigayon, to be head over heels, to be so totally overwhelmed, that is something that is emotional. You don't get overwhelmed intellectually that you can't think about anything else. Lehefech, the more you think about, the more that you are able to think about. Why in the world should my intellectual understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even with a degree of intensity, why should that stop me from thinking about anything else? So I don't understand how the Rambam can use the phrase shogeba and still mean an intellectual achievement. However, says the Ravid himself, the Anu, if you'll ask me, how do I understand this world of Oved Me'ahava? Anu Mefarshim Ota Bishnei Inyanim. I can deal with the concept of Shogeh quite literally on two different planes. Just skipping a few words, Inyan Acher, the second plane that he mentions, is Ba'avur Ahavata Tishkeh Be'inyanecha Shelota Simleim Lev. That when a person really is emotionally, intimately obsessed with another individual, he really cannot do anything else. Everything else falls by the wayside. He is really shogeh, everything else. Simply, he doesn't pay his bills, and he doesn't deal with his food, and simply he is overwhelmed with the emotional connection, with the relationship that he's seeing being established. And then he points out that the word shigayon, that's one literal meaning. But going back, there's also Lashon Shir, Kamo Shigayon LeDavid, that in Sefer Tehillim, Shigayon is a verb that can imply a singing, a song. Namely, that when a person is lovesick, emotionally lovesick, he sings. That is the natural reaction of someone. You see someone singing in the street, you know that he's in love. He is singing because he is in love. Someone who will be learning with a song, that shows he's in love with his learning. We have a beautiful, beautiful Moneh HaMitzvos, the Sefer HaCharedim, who divides all mitzvahs according to the limbs of the body, but he starts off with the mind, and the first mitzvah that he talks about in Perek Aleph is Ahava, and he quotes this Ravid. He points out in source number 15, Derech HaChoshek L'Shorer, that the way of a person who is desirous of a relationship is that he will sing. V'kevan she'avat yotzreinu nifla'a me'avat nashim. And since our concept of ahavat Hashem goes beyond loving another individual, ha'ohev oto b'lev shalem yashir lefanav, it will come out as song, even if we're tone deaf, even if we have no voice, but we'll try and sing. Kasher sharu Moshe u'b'nei Yisrael. This was the instinctual reaction of Moshe and Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to their encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'Miriam, u'Devora, v'Yoshua, u'b'nei Korach, David, Shlomo, whoever had a sense of a connection, an intimate connection, Ruach HaKodesh, there's no more intimate connection than that, and this is the Shir HaShirim Asher Lishlomo. And he points out that this is Uksiv Ba'avatam Tishget Tamid, that out of love one becomes overwhelmed. Piresh HaRavid Dehunami Loshon Shir. He quotes our Ravid over here in the Hasagot, U'betokef HaCheshek Yisbarach HaRishonim Gam Achronim Sharu Lefanav. This didn't end with those mentioned in Tanakh, Rav Yehuda HaLevi, Rav Yehuda HaChassid, Rav Ami Ibn Ezra. They all sang because they all felt this tremendous ahava. Namely, even though we haven't found the tshuva ila'a of Rav Kook in the Rambam, we do, my humble opinion, find it in the Ravid. And that's why the Ravid didn't say anything when the Rambam wrote in Halacha Gimli, spoke about the shogeh, he was perfectly fine with that. When in Halacha Vav, he moves that over to the ahava of the mind, to the ahava sechlit, that's where the Ravid steps down and says, no, no, no. This was meant to be literal. That out of a sense of an ahava tiv'it, out of an ahava, chole ahava, one can reach a level of tshuva, which the Rambam described, that ya'aseh kol ha-mitzvot me'ahava. It changes one's entire relationship to the world of Torah u'mitzvah. So we have really two traditional tracks of tshuva in Rav Kook. The first, the tshuva of the Rambam, beginning with chet, and the process of removing the chet, and this process ends with the ahava sichlit, and then we have the tshuva of the Ravid, the 10th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, the tshuva that creates a relationship and gives new meaning and vibrancy to all of one's behavior. Now, we mentioned at our very beginning that our generation clicks with this second approach, that we're in a generation that searches for, in Israel it's called hitchabrut, searches for connections, searches for relationships. Similarly, Rav Kook himself preferred the second approach, and from this point on in the Sefer, he only deals with the second approach, Perek Dalet, Hey, Vav, etc. He only deals with that approach because in Rav Kook's world, it's more whole, it's more organic, it's more universal, and he viewed Yehadut as a prism for the wholeness rather than the particulars, that this chait, that chait, etc. He wanted to view things as everything being intertwined, everything being brought together, all of humanity, all of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all one. But are there actually objective pluses and minuses to the two approaches that would bring us really to prefer one more than the other? So I think we have to just look into ourselves, and with this we'll conclude, and think, why really don't we do tshuva? I mean, after all, we have a feeling that this is that which we should. We do know what's right. So one of the main factors that keeps us from doing tshuva is that we fool ourselves into thinking that we always have time, that we know that tshuva is going to be a life-changing catharsis. Something is going to go on within us. It's going to change our lifestyle. And why in the world should I put myself through that today? I always have tomorrow, or I always have next week, or I always have next year, and I always have when I will be older. Now, that's a very, very powerful factor if I'm going to start my tshuva by looking at my averos in the eye. If I'm going to start my tshuva with the chet, I would rather postpone that process. But let's take the second track, the relationship. A relationship creates expectations. If we think about it, there is a beautiful pamphlet that the Chafetz Chaim wrote in order to try and convince people to stop speaking Lashon Hara. He called the pamphlet Kvod Shamayim. And he tries with all different psychological twists to get people to understand that this is something they should take seriously. And they should be more sensitive how they speak. And in Perek Gimel of that pamphlet of Kvod Shamayim, it's in the Kol Kisvei HaChafetz Chaim, he quotes from Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Tes, where David HaMelech has just won the battle against Avshalom. There was a rebellion. David HaMelech had to flee to Eiver HaYarden. He's on now the east side of the Jordan River. His armies have conquered Avshalom. The tribes are lining up on the west side of the Jordan River to greet David, to allow him to return home, to return to his kingdom. And there is one tribe which is missing, and that is the tribe of Yehuda, David's own tribe. And so he sends a message to the tribe of Yehuda via Tzadok and Eviatar, via the two young Kohanim who accompanied him. Dabru el ziknei Yehuda lemor, lama tiyu achronim lahashiv et hamelech el beito. Why should you be the last ones to join everyone else? You're my family. And it worked. The moment they got that message, it worked, and they gathered immediately. So, says the Chafetz Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that he would not return to his kingdom, to his palace, to his mikdash, until we build the mikdash shel mata. But we're holding it back with our sinat chinam and our lashon hara. Now we know the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. It's going to be rebuilt. We have no question about that. The question is, why should we be the last ones to participate? Why should we be the ones who dafka are holding everything back? We're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's family. We have a relationship. Shouldn't we be the first ones to return him to his palace, to his mikdash? So using this approach, so also in tshuva. If we begin the tshuva with a relationship doesn't lend itself to procrastination in terms of expressing our love and our loyalty. A tshuva based on a relationship is the order of the day, right? That's today, not tomorrow. So the excuse of the procrastination, that can be if we're going to start with the avera. But if we're going to start with a relationship, there's really no excuse. The other factor that keeps us from doing tshuva, again, is that when I look at my chet, I look at my internet addiction, I look at my half Shabbos, I look at my lack of doing X or Y or Z, I really feel so low in my own eyes. I feel dirty. I feel unworthy. I'm a nothing. Who am I fooling? Who am I to do tshuva? And then I give up before even starting. It's an eitzah of the Yetzer Hara, that we're mityaesh, that we just give up before we even start to do tshuva. There's a beautiful section in the Nesiva Shalom that really has a source in a Balat Urim, where he points out that when Eishes Potiphar grabbed Yosef, the language of the Chumash is vatitpesehu bigdo. She grabbed his robe. But the word bigdo also reminds us of the concept of bigida. We have a word in Parshas Mishpatim, bigdo ba. There is a concept of unfaithfulness. There's a concept of a lack of loyalty. That Eishes Potiphar caught Yosef bigdo. She said, Yosef, really, who do you think you are? Do you think that you're really totally loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you think you're really loyal to your father's values? What's one more avera? You have so many averas. You know, I know, you know. Who's being fooled? That's the Yetzer Hara keeping us away from tshuva. that every time we think about doing tshuva, we're reminded of our own begida. We're reminded of our unworthiness. But that's when we start by confronting the chait. But again, if we don't confront the chait and think that that's what defines us, if we start with the relationship, then the tshuva is not a reaction of who we think we are, but it's a declaration of who we really are, that we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. Banim atem l'Hashem Elokechem. Ben kach u'ben kach nikra'im banim. Or, taking it one step higher, we're HaKadosh Baruch Hu's lovers. We and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have this unique, unique, obsessive relationship. The pasuk in Mishlei says, Musar Hashem b'ni al tim'as. It can be punctuated, Musar Hashem, the highest level of Musar, is b'ni, is that we are the sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Banim atem l'Hashem alkechem. Lo tim'as, let's not mess it up. Let's not destroy our status. Let's not destroy our relationship. We're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Yiddish, we say pasnisht, namely that we shouldn't behave in this manner. It's not for us to do this. It's not us. It's not who we really are. We'll look at ourselves and say, I can't believe that I actually did that. That's not the real me. There's a beautiful Perush HaMishnayis of the Rambam at the end of Masechet Tainis. The Rambam is explaining, why is Tu B'Av a yontif? Why do we make Tu B'Av such a special day? And he explains the reason from Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, that when on Tisha B'Av they went into their graves expecting to die, and night after night passed until Tu B'Av came. When Tu B'Av came, if you look at source number 16, Himtinu ad chatzi hachodesh, in the middle of the second line, Va'az batchu b'nafsham, v'he'eminu ba'atzmam, v'hirgishu bo ritzon haborei. That when they woke up in the morning and they realized they weren't destined to die, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusted them to live. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu trusts them to live, then that creates a relationship and they begin to trust in themselves. That's the nature of a relationship. It's two-directional. And that's what we say every morning. Mode ani lefanecha, melech chai v'kayam, shechazarta bi nishmasi b'chemra. You gave me another day. Rabba emunasecha. You really trust me. You really think I'm going to use this day well. Well, I'm not going to let you down. I'm not going to let you down. That's the tshuva that stems from a relationship. So, not just the question that our generation tends to click with relationships, not just that Rav Kook enjoyed dealing with relationships that bind, but this form of tshuva really expedites, this form of relationship really expedites tshuva, rather than dwelling on the chait that sometimes causes tshuva to be postponed or, more likely, not to be done at all. One final point for tonight is that a relationship of love is clearly much more than a fulcrum for tshuva. A relationship of love is that which encourages us to maximize our avoda, to search for ways of showing our ahava. The Ramchal that we quoted earlier in terms of defining yira also defines ahava. And in source number 18, he points out that hinei davar zeinachnu ro'im oto be'einenu. We see every day, that whenever you have two individuals who love one another, bein ish liishto, husband and wife, av libno, kolo shel davar, kol mish ahava b'neihem azah be'emet, if it's a true love, if it's a real love, if there's really a relationship, a person won't ask, lo yomar lo nistavesi yoser, what's the minimum I can do? I just want to keep my relationship on the level of the minimum. What does the Torah say? What do I have to give my wife? What do I have to give my son? What do I have to give my father? But rather, a person will look into that which is the minimum and understand that which would bring nachat to the other party. And so over here, just in terms of, we spoke about Olam and Shana and Nefesh. So the Shana is the here and now for us. The Nefesh is us. And the Olam is Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael. one opens the Ramban in source number 19 to his drasha on Rosh Hashanah, and one sees the terminology that we're living in an area where we are roei pnei hamelech, we're in the king's palace. We're able to be as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as possible. Im HaMelech Bepaltin Shalo, that we're in his throne room, that this is Eretz Hashem. Hanchilo oto la'amo hamiyuchad, hamiyachet shemo, zera avav. This is a land that he gave to us, that he wanted us to live in. And if this is a feeling that we want to show love, that we want to show love, then the moment that we show, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows back. And that's the final source. Amar Rav Yossi bar Chalafta, Rav Shmuel Berei, Mevakesh ata lirot ata shchina b'olam hazeh. Do you want to get on the highest level, the highest possible level that you can have of a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Liros es hashchina b'olam hazeh. Asok b'torah be'eretz Yisrael. Asok b'torah be'eretz Yisrael. Do that which will give the highest level of nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We live in very, very, very unique times. We're in a generation with a tremendous potential for ahava, for dveikus. It's a relationship that we have the ability to maximize beyond any generation since. Mir Hashem, that we should be able to find ourselves within this framework to create that relationship, to maximize the relationship, and that we should all, Mir Hashem, have a Gemar Chasima Tova.